Tango Tango Papa 1689, October 14th, 2012.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Weilser with you, coming to you this evening from Lexington, Virginia. So, let's see. I was in San Antonio, I think, when I recorded the last podcast. And so, I believe, if I'm thinking correctly, I unloaded there the next morning. And then ended up setting there the rest of the day. Later in the afternoon, they did send a load that picked up in Austin, Texas, but it didn't load until the following day, whichever day that was. I'd have to look at the calendar now to even know which day was which, but it was loading the following day. I think that was Thursday, maybe. That it was going to load Thursday. It was like Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening. So I went ahead and spent the rest of the day and the evening there at San Antonio, back at that same TA truck stop where I recorded the podcast at, the last podcast at. And then so the next day, I don't know, it was probably mid-afternoon, went ahead and left there, headed on up to Austin, and I guess I got there, it was right around rush hour, a little bit after 5 o'clock, or right around 5 o'clock when I arrived at the shipper there in Austin. And it turns out that they had just finished loading the load. I was several hours early. I think it was supposed to be loaded by 9 p.m. Well, it was like 5, I think, or a little after, but they hadn't quite finished the paperwork, and so I sat there a few minutes, and waited for the guy to finish the paperwork, and then did the drop and hook after I got the paperwork, and got out of there. And so I went up and I spent the night at Wilmer, there at the Dallas yard, and then that was yesterday. And that was Friday, actually. And so spent the night there, and then ended up, I've been kind of wanting maybe to get a better Bluetooth keyboard for the iPad. And so I was able to make the trip over. There's Fry's Electronics. I've talked about them before. They're in, like, major cities, and so there's several Fry's Electronics around Dallas, but the best one that I've been in, the biggest one, I think, is it's actually in Arlington along Interstate 20. So I was able to go over there before I left. That was yesterday morning. I was able to go over to Fry's and pick up a Belkin. It's a Belkin Bluetooth keyboard for the iPad, and it's got better keys. You remember I had that keyboard that it was a keyboard case that I got from Flying J for $15, and it's really kind of hard to type on because of the rubberized keys, and they're kind of in an awkward position, and it's really kind of difficult to type on that thing, and so I wanted something better. And so the Belkin keyboard that I was able to get includes a case. So it's a kind of or they call them folios or whatever, which means, I guess that means it's a case. But you put the iPad in it and then pair it up with the Bluetooth keyboard. And the keyboard, it does type better. But it turns out there's a little bit of a problem with the iPad And I noticed that before. It's not quite as bad, but there is a little bit of a problem, you know, with a Bluetooth keyboard being paired up to the iPad. You do have some hesitation from time to time, and also it will occasionally, even though I've actually hit the key, or a couple of keys, they simply get ignored. And I've been able to improve the situation by turning off the notifications. A lot of the notifications I've shut down. I haven't shut all of them off, but I may try that just to see what happens. Turn all of the notifications off, and then see if that might make a difference, because it has on my iPod. My iPod was getting ridiculously to the point where it was just ridiculously slow, and it's still kind of sluggish. And I think it's because of the newer version of the operating systems, they cram more in there and it ruins the performance. So it's probably a mistake to update the things to begin with, but that's always their big thing. Oh, here's the update, and everybody gets excited, including me. and they push the update out, and it slows everything down. It ruins the performance. And so, although I have to say, really, when Steve Jobs was alive, Apple, there was a period of time where Apple did pretty good. They would, sometimes they'd roll out updates. Even for Mac OS X, they'd roll out some updates that would kind of mess things up, but they would usually always come back and fix them. And a lot of times their updates actually did improve performance, kind of unlike Microsoft's, where Microsoft's would tended to ruin the performance, it seems like. But now, I don't know, I think Apple is, especially now since Steve Jobs is gone and he's not there to kind of set them back on the right path, because let's face it, the path is, for most companies and for most, especially it seems software companies, is to kind of keep things, just keep rolling things out and, stuff in new features and don't worry about the code. If it's inefficient, it'll be handled by a faster processor at some point, or that type of mentality. And so it seems that, especially he's been dead a year now, and things are just kind of deteriorating, and so they're not really caring so much about the performance. And it was a huge mistake when, as I've said before, I did make the mistake of upgrading the iPad to iOS 6. And I really regret regret that now, and I don't know how big of a pain it would be to roll it back to version 5 or 5.11. Initially, I thought, well, it should be pretty easy, but actually when I checked into it, it's not so easy. They really don't want you kind of going backwards. They want control. It's Apple. They still have that part down. that's one of the Steve Jobs things. You have control of everything. Maintain strict control. And so they've got that part down really well, and they seem to really be pushing in that direction now. And that's not, by the way, what made Apple successful, despite what they think. So, I don't know. It's, if I wouldn't have updated it to version 6, I might have gotten, be able, especially if I turned off the Notification Center, because the Notification Center was in version 5, and that's what I have on my iPod. But if I would have left it, the iPad, at version 5, I would have probably been fine, and turning off the Notification Center, I would have probably gotten even better performance out of this keyboard, or any Bluetooth keyboard. So I think that, I'll probably experiment with turning all of the notifications off, because it definitely helped by turning off a bunch of them. That really did end up helping. So if I turn all of them off, maybe that'll help even more. That's possible. And I may have some apps on there that you'd never know, really. Some apps have codes that they obviously have code that runs in the background. especially the ones that do, that are kind of interfaced with this notification center. They've got some code that runs in the background, even though you're not actually executing the, you know, starting up the little app. So that's stealing CPU cycles as well. Before I go on, I want to talk a bit about GoToMeeting by Citrix. I believe to be successful in business, you need to be able to meet with your team regularly, whenever you need to, wherever you are, discuss plans, share ideas, and bring them to life. But with clients and colleagues working from different offices or on the go, meeting face-to-face is not often possible. That is, unless you use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. The powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your online team. Either with your team online, but they could also be an online team. GoToMeeting with HD Faces gives your team the ability to share the same screen, making it easier to be on the same page. When you meet face-to-face, you're more likely to see eye-to-eye. It's so easy to launch or join a meeting from anywhere. This is how you should be able to do business, and in the 21st century, with the internet, and we're getting all of these speed increases. We're really getting to the point now, not quite there yet perfectly, but we really are kind of getting to the point where we've got this ubiquitous internet, and eventually I think it's going to be, the internet, I've talked about that a long time ago, it's going to be everywhere. And it enables, it's just amazing what it ends up enabling, and it enables services like GoToMeeting. As I've said before, the very best applications will take different elements that are possible and congeal them into a form that, kind of congeal them, concentrate them into a form that that makes them very accessible and puts them right at your fingertips. And GoToMeeting is one of those applications that does that. Whether you're using it on a computer, on an iPad, on an iPod, an Android device, it's one of those services and it's one of those applications that kind of puts it into a form that makes it very powerful. I want you to try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Don't wait for the special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, use the promo code PODCAST. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST. GoToMeeting, meeting is believing. So that takes care of that. So, in any case, don't remember... I did listen back to the last podcast to see what it sounded like, and I was really disgusted with the inverter. And I don't know this. I have this 13-inch MacBook Pro that that's kind of my backup computer. Normally, I have a 17-inch MacBook. I'm sorry, this is just a 13-inch MacBook. It's one of the white plastic ones that I don't think they sell those anymore. Normally, I use a 17-inch MacBook Pro, but it draws enough power where it ends up really causing the inverter to protest. The inverter's on the verge of shutting down, but before it gets there, it starts sounding an alarm, and I wish that it just wouldn't do that. The alarm is noisy, and especially in the enclosed truck here, it's just very noisy, and there's really no way of kind of escaping from it. So, and then of course I can unplug the computer, and then the battery runs down. Well, then I've got to, when I plug it back in, then it won't run the computer. The inverter generally won't run the computer and charge the battery at the same time. Then it does shut down. And, you know, unless I start the truck motor up and then the truck, you know, then there's enough juice in the system to push the inverter and make it work right. You know, where it'll support the computer, you know, the extra power the computer needs. So this evening I'm using this white plastic MacBook. It's about 6 years old, actually. It's one of the, it's an Intel, it is a Core 2 Duo processor. And the machine, it hasn't been used all that much, and so the machine works quite well. And I have Snow Leopard on it, and the thing actually works quite well, and it's got 2 gigabytes of RAM, and so I'm able to run Ubercaster on it just fine. And the nice part about it is that it doesn't, you did hear the inverter a couple of times. The inverter kind of got pushed into a thing where it alarmed just a little bit briefly. But I was listening to that last podcast back, and I was really, as I say, I was really kind of disgusted with that inverter, continuing to whine. It was really kind of annoying. And then there's something running. I don't know what kind of a process it is, but there's some kind of a process, and I don't know if it's an OS 10 process, but there's some sort of a process on there that does cause that to go to 100% CPU usage. And when it does, of course, that drives the power usage up, and it kind of pushes the inverter to the edge where it starts screaming. And I don't know. That's disgusting. So, I think, from now on, at least for the time being, I'm going to use this other computer and see if I can kind of escape from the inverter alarm. Because really annoying. It's just absolutely annoying. If it just did it once in a while, I can live with it. But when it starts, just doing it constantly, that's kind of over the top. So, anyway, but I was listening, as I say, I was listening back to that. And I was talking, at one point I was talking about nations. And the Bible kind of talks about God dealing with nations. And, but then the idea, what is a nation? And you think, well, it's a geographic area. And that really doesn't quite encompass it, because you could say, well, it is a geographic area. But in geographic areas, you have geographic areas. It's basically a geographic area of groupthink. And groupthink is really a negative thing. Groupthink, in an ideal world with ideal human beings, groupthink really wouldn't happen the way it does. Because groupthink, you have people that are kind of thinking all the same way as a result of pressure. And, of course, they never can admit that they think the way they think because they were pressured into it. Something pressured them into it. As human beings, I believe that we do not originate thought. We do not originate thought. You can almost think of our brains are like, in terms of a radio, like a radio, like an oscillator, and the radio is able to kind of pick up the different, you tune the knob, and it's able to pick up the different frequencies. Well, in the case of a human brain, you can really kind of think of it as two frequencies. There's two possible frequencies. There's, the good versus evil. And so these thoughts that we have We think they're our own, and we'll defend them, especially the bad ones. We'll defend those to no end, and you know, in our brains we can be very good with gymnastics, doing mental gymnastics, trying to come up with excuses as to why right is wrong and wrong is right, or you know, why we feel a certain way. People will come up with all kinds of mental gymnastics to try to back that up, you know, whatever it is, but we have a terrible time admitting that our thoughts really are not our own. You know, and therefore our actions are not really our own actions, but they're simply the result of conditioning. Terrible time admitting that. But in any case, a nation, you know, if God destroys a nation, the way I look at it, you go back to the Bible stories, God destroyed Israel, you know, or he destroyed other nations, scattered ancient Israel to the winds, the four corners of the earth, because of the rotten groupthink. And that's really what destroys us. That's really why we end up becoming destroyed. It's because if we end up picking up this groupthink, if too many of us are suggestible, and that's really what ends up destroying us. So it's not so much, you know, you identify with the flag or, you know, this country or that country, and it's, you know, the country has a name and a geographic area or whatever. Of course, those things end up getting overran, but it's more about the groupthink. Too many people in the group ending up being suggestible and sort of overrunning common sense, or what would be common sense. And along with that, you end up with hell kind of coming into fruition. And then people will defend those hellish ideas. People will defend their hellish actions as normal. Oh, it's normal. It's normal to kill your kid. In fact, it's so normal we're going to have pride marches. Kill your kid pride marches. Also, you know, so it's really a nation, you know, you say, well, the nation, it's really, you can also think groupthink. Sort of geographically based groupthink. But the groupthink is what ends up becoming destroyed. And the people that sort of embrace the groupthink and as their own, and will not look anywhere else, they embrace the groupthink, and they will, you know, never question it, or not for some, you know, they're not motivated to question the groupthink. But I was also talking about, you know, there's, you know, 50 million abortions since 1973. You know, Roe versus Wade was, you know, kind of the Supreme Court decision in 1973 that essentially forced every state in the Union, all 50 states, to legalize abortion. Now, before that, it was legal in some states and illegal in other states. It just, you know, it was up to the states. It was a states' rights issue. But the Supreme Court said no, with Roe versus Wade, it has to be legal in all 50 states. And so since that time, there's been about, you know, there's about 50 million abortions since then. So that means at least 100 million parents have participated in that. in that slaughter, in that child slaughter. And again, imagine, you know, make it more extreme. Imagine you have a toddler. You know, it's not just a baby that you can't see. You know, it's kind of hidden by, in the woman's belly. You know, forget about that. Imagine you got a toddler. You know, let's say a 2-year-old toddler. And they're inconvenient, and the law says it's legal to kill them, to do away with them. Take them to the doctor, and the doctor chops them up, or however they do it, and gets rid of your toddler problem, and it's perfectly legal. So imagine you do that. Imagine the guilt that comes from that. And I don't care whether the society says it's okay to do that or not. Wrong is wrong. Murdering your own child, murdering any child, is wrong. I'm sorry, but it's wrong. And then coming up with excuses, they wouldn't have had a good life anyway, or they would have had a life in poverty, or they would have suffered. Better off that they're dead. Better off that we just did away with them and they're dead. What kind of a monster would do that? What kind of a monster would then come up with excuses? What kind of a monster would then come up with justifications and telling people, oh, it's really okay. You really did. You're such a good person. Oh, you were so. That was such a noble act, killing your kid. That was so noble of you. In fact, that's so noble. Kill your parents. Kill your grandparents. They're too old. They might suffer. Go ahead and kill them. Here, we'll just smother you. Here, have some chloroform and a rag. And so in order to try to run away from that conscience, people will begin to see things completely backwards. Right becomes wrong, wrong becomes right. And then, everything's upside down and inside out. People can no longer see the difference between right and wrong. In fact, it's the other way around. Or they're just in a state of confusion. And so we have at least 100 million parents that have done that over the past number of years. And so that's how did someone like Barack Obama become elected? How did that happen? And not to just pick on Obama, but, George Bush wasn't, George Bush had his problems too. But, then it also goes to the Congress, because this hasn't just happened in the last 4 years. This has been going on since really, since the 1960s is when it really started. Back sometime in the 60s is when it really began to go downhill. And it's been going for a long time. Doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. And so the government ends up just being a reflection of, in our country, a republic, representative democracy or a republic, it ends up simply being a reflection of the decrepit moral state of the people. So enough people in 2008, it got to critical mass, and there were enough people that were so fooled that they voted for someone that was obviously evil. And the obvious evil looked good to them. Now, most of those people are still around. Now, what's going to happen? And we're very close to the election at this point. This is, November the 6th, I believe, is the election. So we're getting close to that. We're less than a month away at this point. And I might be all wet. I think there's going to be a massive Romney landslide. And Obama and a huge number of other Democrats are going to get swept out. It's going to be like a tidal wave. Now, again, I may be all wrong, but I'm just telling you what I think. That's what this podcast is. I'm not telling you these things so that it's controversial or any of that kind of malarkey. I'm telling you what I think. That's what this is for. It's for me to say what I think. I don't care whether you like me or not. Really don't. So that's what I think is Romney landslide. And the reason why that's going to happen, and you can look back starting in really in 2010. Especially, the election in 2010. You saw, the so-called Tea Party group and what have you. There's a huge number of people that are, I think they're just, kind of decent Americans. But there's a huge number of people that just don't participate politically for whatever reason. Some of them are deliberate. They think, I don't know what they think. But they don't participate. They just let other people sort of decide for them, and then they don't have to face the pain of if they've made a mistake or not. They can just point fingers and say, "Oh well, all those politicians are all alike. I'm such a good person. I didn't do it." To not vote is to vote. Sorry, you got to decide. Sitting there on your thumbs isn't doing anybody any good. But in any case, a bunch of people in 2010, a bunch of people that haven't been participating for a long time, suddenly they woke up. After Obamacare got rammed through, they all of a sudden it came to life, and they thought, "What's going on? This isn't right." And they started participating. They started becoming active. And so that's why the vast majority of elections starting in 2010 have swept out, it's completely swept out conventional means of forecasting. The way they forecast elections, they take polls. Take election polls. It has really over and over again, there's been upsets that just weren't, and the polls really didn't reflect it before very well. So there's this percentage of people, let's say maybe, I don't know, let's say upwards of 30%, 20 or 30% of people that weren't participating before suddenly now are. Now maybe it's not, maybe the percentage isn't that big. I don't know. There's no way of really knowing what that is right now. But there is this mass of people that has not been participating that now is. That now are paying attention, but they're not being polled, and they've been kind of ignored. Now, as we get closer to the election, and you know, the poll results, typically as you get closer to the actual election, the poll results start getting more accurate. But so in this case, there's this mass number of people that are going to vote, and that's why it's going to be a landslide. But you still have probably maybe it's 30%. 30%, when we're being charitable, I'm being charitable, 30% of the population is essentially brain dead when it comes to being able to see the difference between right and wrong. Wrong looks right, right looks wrong. Good seems evil, and evil seems good. They see the world backwards. Decent people are a threat. We still have to deal with those people after the election. Those people represent the real threat to the future of the country. Those, along with the corrupted youth, that we're still, our school system is still happily churning out. School system is how the country has gotten into the state that it's in. That's how it's been destroyed so far. Public school system is a travesty. Parent, if you have a kid, you should be ashamed of yourself for sending your kids to public school. And I don't care whether you have money or not, or if you and your wife have to work, I don't care. If you send your kids to public school, you should be ashamed of it. That's a travesty. That's just a brainwashing center. It's an indoctrination center. Your children are systematically being destroyed. And at the same time, people think, oh, I have to have my iPod, and I have to have my flat screen television, and I have to have this, and I have to have that, and I have to have the new car. And, well, I can't afford to send my kid to private school, or I can't afford to homeschool them. It's too much trouble. They have to go to public school. It's all I can afford. But boy, I can afford my flat screen TV, or my iPod, or whatever else it is I want. Don't care about the kid or whether he gets brainwashed or not. He or she. They are being brainwashed. You send them to public school, they're being brainwashed. Don't fool yourself that it's not happening. So it kind of, we're going to be granted maybe it may just be a temporary stay of execution. The country, the United States of America, may be granted a temporary stay of execution. Don't know how long that stay of execution is going to last. It's sort of, in part, it depends on what we do. It depends on what decent people do. The brain dead of the brain dead. There's a phrase in the Bible, and those people have always existed, by the way. What does it mean, let the dead bury their dead? What does that mean? Does that mean that corpses are going to bury other corpses? No. It's talking about brain-dead people. They look like normal human beings, and they might act like normal human beings, but when it comes right down to it, they're programmed. They're zombies. They're robots. They're robots. But they think in their own minds, they think they're really in charge. That's the they have an illusion, a lie. That they're really in charge of their own lives. And they're coming up with their own programming. And of course they're not. So will this so-called silent majority, that's Richard Nixon phrase, will this silent majority just go back to sleep, thinking, oh well, you know, danger averted, nighty-night, go back to sleep, stop voting, stop paying attention? Stop paying attention to the how rotten the culture's becoming. That's the real question. What will happen with the culture? I don't care about the politicians. The politicians, the politics, that's important. It is important. Make no mistake. But that's not the be-all, end-all. We can tweak laws all day long. It's not going to do any good. The real problem, how we got here, how we made this mess, how did this mess happen? The real problem revolves around our morals. The real problem revolves around decent people not doing enough, not paying attention, or potentially decent people not, you know, just kind of sticking their head in the sand and thinking, well, somebody else will do it. You know, come up with all kinds of excuses that, well, God's really in control and so on and so forth. Or that, you know, that they shouldn't get involved politically because it's somehow dirty. You know, all the excuses. You know, or the thing, oh, all politicians are just, they're all just alike. All those bozos are alike. Yeah, right. They're all alike. Well, if you want to, you're basically saying all human beings are alike. Are all human beings alike? Saddam Hussein is, you're basically saying Saddam Hussein's basically the same thing as Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus, do you believe in Jesus? You believe there was a Jesus Christ? You think that you're basically saying that Jesus is the same as Saddam Hussein, or Jesus is the same as Hitler. It's all the same, right? I don't think so. There's a difference. None of us are perfect. Not a single one of us are. And the one that was, murdered him, he got rid of him real quick. Nailed him to a cross. So none of us are perfect. But there's a difference in the spirit of a person. You know, the spirit behind the person. There really is a difference. And if you can't see that, or you won't see it, and why won't you see it? One of the reasons you won't see it is because maybe you've killed your kid. Maybe you're one of those people that's murdered your kid for the sake of convenience. So then the person that does have a decent spirit sort of reminds you of that conscience that you've been running away from, that you've been spending all these years trying to bury. So then you just kind of throw them into the category, oh, they're all wrong. They all lie. They're all politicians. They all lie. They're all the same. I'm not going to vote. So it kind of really depends. I don't, you know, who knows how long the stay of execution is going to last. that becomes a really good question. How long will the stay of execution last? What am I willing to do to help awaken the consciences of the people around me? What are you willing to do to help awaken the consciences of the people around you? Are you willing to be called names? Are you willing to be accused of being a hypocrite? Are you willing to be yelled at? Maybe even spit on? Shouted down? Shouted at? Being accused of causing a scene when it's actually the other people that are doing it? Because they don't like what you think or what you have to say? You willing to do that? Is that real? That's really what it is. You have to be willing to face these people, you know, because you never really know about people. You can't tell just by looking. You really can't tell just by looking at someone or the way they're dressed or whatever. You cannot tell what kind of a person is, what sort of spirit drives them. Which one of those forces is in charge of their brain? You can't tell. What really has to happen is you kind of show where you're coming from, you know, the spirit that drives you, and then they show where they're coming from. And that's essentially what happened with the Romney versus Obama debate, the first presidential debate, and then this debacle that took place the other night, Biden versus Ryan. And of course, Biden, you know, the rotten Democrat types, and it's mostly Democrats or liberal, progressive, whatever you want to call them, the rotten people, you know, Chris Matthews type of, you know, thought, oh, with Romney or Biden really took it to him. Well, I didn't watch that debate, but I've heard what people said about it, and I've listened to clips of it. And today when I was having lunch, there was a TV on, and they were actually showing some clips. I couldn't really hear the sound very well because I was in a kind of a noisy restaurant, but they had the closed captioning turned on the TV. And so I could see, you know, they showed clips of it. And Biden, Joe Biden, was making it, he was a total buffoon. He was just making faces and waving his up, flailing his arms around. And he had his mouth, he was smiling. You know, he's got a bizarre, he was smiling so, you know, so much, you know, it was bizarre looking. He looked like a clown. He made a fool of himself. Now, so those people that normally don't pay attention, that have been paying attention since 2010, again, you know, kind of prompted by that, you know, ramming through of Obamacare. That didn't play very well with those people. So you saw who Joe Biden was, and you can hope that Ryan would have been able to make a point here or there, or a little bit better, a little bit more forcefully, or kind of put Biden in his place. Don't even need to do that. Biden was just from the clips that I saw. I didn't even have to hear it. I've heard, you know, a little bit of it, but you know, but just seeing it visually, he made an ass of himself, and they said he interrupted Ryan 82 times. 82 times. And then the rest of the time he was, you know, sitting there with that stupid grin and flailing his arms around and making faces, and it's just incredible. But he was showing his real nature. That's who Joe Biden is. That's who the Democrat, basically the most Democrats are today. Especially the ones that are left now, or the kooks. You know, at the root of it, evil is in charge. Evil drives them. Evil supplies them with their thoughts, whether they want to admit it or not. Evil is the spirit that animates them. And so Ryan was able, just by restraining himself and remaining to be a gentleman, just by being able to restrain himself, you saw the spirit, you know, what the spirit that he's coming from. Different spirit. So, very, I don't know, who could have ever imagined that there would be a vice presidential debate where something like that would actually happen. And furthermore, that there would be people that would think that was actually a good tactic to employ. It's incredible. Really is incredible. So, Romney is going to win in a landslide. That's my gut feeling. I might be wrong. That's my gut feeling. But we've still got a percentage, maybe a third of the population, that are these hardcore lunatics that are driven by evil. It's kind of like you got a cancer diagnosis and you're not going to die today, but you've got this tumor that's sort of metastasized. And it's kind of eating away. Maybe you've taken, you know, you've gotten some chemotherapy, and or you've kind of come to your senses a little bit, and you know, maybe it's not gonna, you might not die today or immediately, but you still got a serious problem. So the country still has a serious problem. We've still got these lunatics, and you know, it seems like there's a bunch of them, and they're all over the place. They're our relatives, in many cases. You know, there's the old saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your relatives. You know, maybe the really hardcore ones, that might be more like 10%, 10 to 15%. There are, you have the really hardcore ones, and then you have the sympathizers. And the sympathizers maybe aren't quite as, you know, they vote, of course. That's the danger. They do end up voting, and they do end up kind of screwing the minds of kids, screwing the minds of people, screwing with people's minds, or screwing with people's perceptions. But as such, they do perform a valid function, because if there were no such thing as evil, then how could there be any such thing as good? How would you show a contrast? And as I've said before, you know, evil, it can't be just a little bit. It can't be just a little tiny bit. Or even, there's no such thing as moderate evil. It has to be extreme. It has to go to the ultimate extreme in order to put you to the ultimate test. In order to put good to the ultimate test. So, but, I don't know. We live in very interesting times. But I do think that, for the time being, it seems to me America has been granted a stay of execution. Don't know, you know, how long the stay of execution is going to last. Probably depends on us. But make no mistake, it could be that we could end up in the dustbin of history. If, you know, if our Creator was willing to scatter ancient Israel, the ancient Israelites, to the four corners of the world, his covenant people, then what makes us think that it couldn't happen to us? It can. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. Hope everyone is having a great weekend so far. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.